inviting you to listen in on the Nightline. Tonight, live the incredible life of ages yet to come in a time that might be a million years from now on X minus one. Now, an incredible story of the world beyond.
Countdown for blast off. X minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X minus 1, fire. Far horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X minus one.
Tonight, The Old Die Rich by H.L. Gold. But first, hear this.
Hello, I'm Dorothy Olson, singing schoolteacher on NBC's big weekday musical show, Bandstand. But right now, I'd like to talk to you parents. I'd like to ask you a few questions as you're getting ready to send your youngsters back to school. Are you helping your child get the most out of his school? Do you make his home conditions favorable enough for him to do his homework? Do you show an interest in his schoolwork? Remember, your child's success in school and later on in life depends to a large degree on your attitude towards his schooling today. And there's another important thing. Everyone needs a good send-off in the morning, and that goes for children, too. Be sure your children have a substantial breakfast and a cheery goodbye before they head for school each day. Remember, you can't expect your child to do it all himself. Encourage him in his schooling, both in your attitude and in your actions as he goes back to school this fall.
Now, X minus one, and tonight's story, The Old Die Rich.
Doc, what did she die of?
Not eating, Sergeant. Malnutrition.
Oh, look, Doc, in the top bureau drawer, she has bank books showing $32,000 in five different banks. She had the price of a meal.
Malnutrition induced by senile psychosis. They starve because they're less afraid of death than of digging into their savings.
I don't know, Doc. Doesn't feel right to me.
Listen, Weldon, just because you can get up on a stage and play the part of some 70-year-old geezer, that doesn't qualify you as an expert on gerontology.
I just don't believe it. It isn't right. I don't feel it.
Well, lucky for me, I don't have to feel these things inside of me because I'm a doctor, not an actor, nor an amateur detective. Sergeant, malnutrition induced by senile psychosis. I'll order the wicker basket from Bellevue. So long, Barrymore.
Well, he's right, Mark. We get a couple of these cases every year. Some old bat starving to death with $17,000 in old bills pinned on his union suit. Turns up all the time.
It doesn't feel right.
Well, Doc knows his business.
But he doesn't know old people. I do. I've gone to a lot of trouble to study their habits. It isn't easy to starve to death. Hunger is a pretty potent instinct.
Yeah, but, Mark, you can't argue with the facts. Where were the five bank books? $32,000.
She took good care of them. They look almost new. Let's see. April 23rd, 1907. Deposit of $150. The ink's pretty dark. Shouldn't it be faded?
Well, she probably never took it out in the light.
Anyone ever think of testing the ink?
Oh, now, Mark, this is strictly against regulations. I've got to take these books down to the squad room and sign them in.
Pretty dark ink for 1907.
Well, it's about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I could hold them over tonight, bring them down to the property clerk in the morning.
Good. I know where I can find a chemist.
Mr. Weldon, there's no doubt of it. The ink sample is typical of inks used 50 years ago. Well, 1907 would be about right. But according to the amount of oxidation, it's fresh enough to be only a few months old.
Well, couldn't that be the result of unusually careful handling?
Yes, Sergeant. Yes, I suppose it could. An airtight compartment, perhaps, sealed with one of the inert gases or a vacuum. But that might account for the lack of normal aging.
Lou, you can't keep inert gases in a top bureau drawer in a fourth floor walk-up.
Yeah, well, it's probably some simple explanation.
For fresh ink, half a century old. Right after that, I got a television part that kept me busy for about a month. And then Lou Pape called me up and asked me to come down to Bellevue.
Mark, is that you?
Hi, Lou. What's up?
An old guy found wandering around down on Hester Street. He was suffering from malnutrition. He had $17,000 in cash inside the lining of his jacket.
He's alive?
No, not now. He is. Doc's got him in the room there. But he was stumbling around when the cop on the beat picked him up.
Did he say anything?
Just before he went out completely, he did say something, maybe three or four times.
What was it?
El Greco.
You mean the artist? Anything else, Lou?
Yeah, it's nothing for me, but we found the old guy's room, and there was an ad thumbtacked over the sink. Nothing unusual.
Yeah?
Here it is.
Men and women wanted. Light work suitable for old people. No references required. Now, why would an old man with $17,000 in cash be answering an ad like that? It was an old brownstone house in the East 80s. I got in line with the rest of the applicants. My face was lined with collodion wrinkles, and I wore an antique, shiny suit and run-down shoes. It was a good makeup job. I looked more authentic than the rest of the old-timers who were waiting for the interview. I finally came up to where a woman was asking the questions.
Name?
Kernet. Louis Kernet. Kernet.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any references? Family?
No, ma'am. I haven't got any family. I had a cousin in Salt Lake City. I haven't seen him in 30 years or more. The ad said you didn't want no references.
That's right. And now, will you wait in the other room?
Yes, ma'am. Do I get the job, ma'am?
Just wait in the other room.
I shuffled into the other room and sat down to wait. I'd planned to be dozing the way an old man would. And so my eyes were closed when I heard the door close. When I opened them, I was looking into the barrel of a .38 revolver.
Are you awake now, Mr. Weldon?
Huh? Ma'am? Why?
I don't think you need to carry on anymore. If you need any further convincing, you're Mark Weldon, you're about 40 years old, and you played the same character on television about 6 weeks ago. You played it fairly well.
Thank you. Would you mind putting down the gun?
You've been very busy recently trying to find out why senile psychotics starve themselves to death.
You know a great deal more about me than I do about you.
I would be glad to enlighten you. My name is May Roberts. I'm the daughter of the late Dr. Anthony Roberts, the physicist who was dismissed from the Brookhaven Atomic Energy Laboratory 5 years ago.
Oh, I assume you're connected with those starvation cases, or you wouldn't have known that I was investigating them, huh?
Well, that's obvious, isn't it? I'm not afraid of professional detectives, Mr. Weldon. They deal only with facts. But I don't like amateurs. They guess too much. They don't stick to reality. Consequently, they're likely to get too close to the truth.
Unfortunately, Miss Roberts, I'm nowhere near the truth. I haven't the slightest idea how you're tied in with these starvation deaths.
Oh, I intend to show you, Mr. Weldon. I'm happy to announce that you have the job.
Oh, now look.
All right, Mr. Weldon, right ahead of you, please. Through that door. It will take about 5 minutes for the field to build up, Mr. Weldon. Please get in the cathode area.
You mean that wire cage?
Go ahead.
All right.
Now. I wouldn't advise moving now, Mr. Weldon. The wire carries some 10,000 volts.
Well, now look, Miss Roberts.
Mr. Weldon, you are curious, and you could turn out to be a great nuisance to me. As long as you've come this far, we might as well both benefit by it.
Benefit?
Yes. On the floor, you'll find a set of envelopes. There's a set of instructions in each. Follow them carefully.
I don't get it.
You will. Use the envelopes in the order they are arranged.
Look, what's all this about?
Mr. Weldon, I meant it when I said this could be a benefit to both of us. There's no use in my explaining. You'll find out. And don't try to escape. It can't be done. All right, now, the field generator's ready.
Now, look, Miss Roberts, this is absolutely...
Just follow instructions, Mr. Weldon.
I blinked. I was standing outside a bank on a sunny day in spring. The cars were square with flat radiators in the front. There was a trolley car passing by. And suddenly I realized that the last trolley car stopped running in Manhattan years ago. I tried to figure it out. It was New York, all right. I recognized some of the buildings. First, I figured it must have been hypnosis. And then I looked at the first of the envelopes in my pocket. I read it and walked into the bank.
Yes, sir? Now, Mr. Golden tells me you wish to open an account.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're very happy to have a new depositor. Very happy indeed. Of course, you realize the institution is in sound condition, very sound. You needn't worry about all those rumors in this bank. No, sir, solid, solid.
That's good.
Now then, name, Mark Weldon.
Mm-hmm.
You have no address in the city at present?
No.
And you're depositing $150?
That's right.
All righty, I'll just check the slip. $150, right? The date, May 15th, of course, 1931.
I went outside the bank and I stood there in the spring sunlight and let the terror soak into me. The impossibility of the entire situation was gnawing at the edges of my mind. And then suddenly, I wasn't there. It was 1934, and I found myself inside a broker's office.
As I understand it, Mr. Weldon, you're buying this stock for Dr. Anthony Roberts.
That's right.
I assume the stock will be in his name.
That's right. I'm just acting as agent. I follow instructions.
Of course, of course. Are you sure I can't convince you that you're making a mistake?
No. These are my instructions.
Mr. Weldon, we are a reputable brokerage house, and I feel quite shaky about putting any client's money into this kind of security. Frankly, I see no future in it. It's a rare metal for which there is very little use for industrial purposes. However, if your client is adamant...
I have my instructions, sir.
Very well, then, in the name of Dr. Anthony Roberts, 100 shares of Montana Uranium. Oh, well. Very unwise. Most unwise.
It went that way about 50-50. I'd deposit money in my own name in various banks at various times... And then I'd buy a stock or make a bet for May Roberts. On June 21st, 1932, I bet Jack Sharkey to take the heavyweight title away from Max Schmeling. There was Singing Wood in 1933 at Belmont Park. And Max Bear over Primo Carnera. I went on skipping through the years like a flat stone over water, touching here and there for a few minutes to an hour at a time. It was in early October 1938, about 5 hours after I had left May Roberts' house, before I realized what she had me doing. I was making deposits and winning sure bets just as those senile psychotics had done. The ink of their bank books was fresh because the entries in them were fresh. The ink wasn't given a chance to oxidize. At the rate I was going, I'd be back at my own time in a few hours with $15,000 compound interest in cash, to say nothing of those bets. But those old people had died of starvation in spite of all that cash. Well, I was hungry, so I got myself a hamburger and went out the door. When I hit the sidewalk, it happened again.
Don't touch the cage yet, Mr. Weldon. I'll have to clear the charge.
Hey,
What happened to my hamburger?
What?
The hamburger. I had it here. It's gone. I'm hungry.
I'll get you something to eat, Mr. Weldon, before your next trip. You've done pretty well for yourself, haven't you?
Yes, I have. About 15,000.
You can come out now. But be careful. Don't touch the contact.
Oh.
The field reacts on a random factor for at least an hour after it's cut off.
Hey, I had ketchup on my sleeve. It's gone.
Mr. Weldon, I want to talk seriously with you. You've seen now part of what I'm doing.
Part?
I've been able to save things that would have been lost otherwise. I've sent people back to find precious treasures that would have been destroyed or would have disappeared.
Like an El Greco painting?
Yes. And the original score of Mozart's Magic Flute that would have been burned in 1942. And a Picasso miniature that would have been lost at sea in 52. I have them all here.
Stolen?
No. Bought with money from the year itself at a fair price. Well, Mr. Weldon, I sent you back because I've needed someone to work with me on a regular basis. Someone who's faster and more alert than the old people I've hired up until now. I assume you're interested. And that we can make our plans without my using this revolver?
Well, this one is a little hard to work out. You see, I got interested in this business because they found some old people dead of malnutrition and $30,000 or so tucked away in their pockets. They'd been gone a month or more. They had to eat during that time, didn't they? And when they came back, the food disappeared, like my hamburger. It disappeared all at once. In one fast jolt, they starved to death.
No. You don't understand. They just couldn't take the field transition.
Oh, no, you can't tell me that, because I know how hungry I am, and I was only gone about 12 hours. They were murdered.
Get back.
You know, they say a hungry man gets pretty desperate. He'll do almost anything. Let go. Let go of it. Let go. Let go. Look out. Look out, the cage, the contacts. She fell into that cage and disappeared before she hit the ground. I didn't know what happened. I know she said the field worked in a random action, whatever that meant. Lou didn't believe the story I told him.
You mean there won't be any more of them? No more senile psychotics starving to death with a bankroll in their hip pocket?
No more, Lou. I was wrong. There was one more case, and perhaps it was the strangest one. A woman was found wandering in Bryant Park just before she died of acute starvation. The strange thing was, she was young, not more than 30. And the other was that she had $17,000 stuffed in her pocketbook and a bullet wound in her arm that the medical examiner said was at least 2 months old. I guess that's what she meant by random action.
Fred Collins speaking, and I'll have another word about X-1 in a moment. As a child, Louise had been a lonely orphan, until the Harvey family came along and took her into their home and into their hearts. As Louise herself says, they gave me everything, including the love I longed for. They fed me and clothed me as if I were one of their own. And I repaid them with treachery and heartache. You'll wonder if Louise will be able to repair the damage she's done to a group of splendid people as you listen tomorrow to My True Story. My True Story, with a complete drama every morning about people and their problems, is one of radio's most popular morning programs. You'll hear My True Story every weekday just before NBC Bandstand. So remember, My True Story for drama and NBC Bandstand for music and lighthearted entertainment. Together they make a wonderfully varied morning's listening every weekday on most of these NBC stations. You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features Share Alike by Daniel F. Galloway. When the experts discovered a way to enable two objects to occupy the same space at the same time, they thought they'd solved the housing problem. But on the other hand, they created an exasperating new one. Read it in Galaxy Magazine,
on your newsstand today. Tonight, X-1 has brought you The Old Die Rich, a story written by H.L. Gold and adapted for radio by Ernest Kenoy. Featured in our cast were Ralph Camargo as Mark Weldon, Patricia Wheel as May Roberts, Bill Zuckert as Sergeant Pape, and others in our cast were Harvey Hayes, Roger DeCoven, and Guy Repp. This is Fred Collins speaking. X-1 was directed by George Voutsas and is an NBC Radio Network production.
You'll be on the right line for exciting nighttime entertainment when you hear Nightline, tonight over most of these NBC stations.